with what we got, and we need to keep it going. All right, thanks, Ty, for running the board. I'm out of here.
You're listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM. The time is 9 a.m. Next up is Paradigms, followed by Flashpoints.
This is your lucky day. You have the once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to pay amazingly high prices for some incredibly worthless stuff. Just keep listening, and we'll tell you over and over and over and over and over and over and over.
Aren't you glad this is KBOO? KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM. Non-commercial. Over and over and over and over and over.
Welcome to Paradigms, the radio show and podcast that brings you inspired, inspiring people with visions of a viable future for life on Earth that includes humans. Hi, welcome to the show. I'm Baruch, host of Paradigms. Really glad to be here with you. Thanks for listening in. We've got a wonderful guest with a new book celebrating and also helping us deepen our connection with creativity, which is really an essential human quality. And of course, one of the keys to being engaged with creativity is being present. And this book offers lots of wonderful tools for being present, even when life offers lots of distractions. So let's just get right to it and meet my guest on this episode of Paradigms. I am happy to welcome the author of a wonderful new book, Artist, Awakening the Spirit Within, Jocelyn Jones. Welcome to Paradigms.
Thank you. I'm very happy to be here.
I'm very happy to have you here. I just finished reading the book and I enjoyed it a lot. And I have a few points that especially touched me that I want to share with you. And in the book, you do talk about who you are and you share personal stories and where you're coming from. But for listeners' sake, just in a nutshell, could you tell us a little bit of who you are and what brought you to write this book and offer this material?
Well, thank you for that. You know, I grew up with artists in an artist community up on the Hudson River Valley, not Woodstock, but similar, extraordinary artists at the dining room table. And, you know, artists do well together because they, whether they're painters or writers, they like to talk about process. So as a child, you know, I loved the painters. The painters really knocked me out because they see the world differently. And my dad was an actor. And so, you know, actors, when they're working, you go to the best restaurants, you go to the theater, life is grand. And when they're not working, they're just on the floor. You have to lift them up. So I was very interested in the highs and the lows and the inspirational periods and when an artist felt that they were kind of bringing something in from the outside. That was my highest interest, that there was some outside connection. So there was this one big influence going on in my life. And the other part of my life was that, you know, like a lot of people, I grew up kind of feeling like I didn't belong anywhere as a kid. And I was very lonely. And artists are wonderful to grow up with, but they're a little self-involved. And I came from a generation that kind of put kids on the group, on the planet, and said, go. You know, there wasn't a lot of interest or conversation or cherishing, which, you know, I had so much fun doing as a mother myself. You know, you kind of, then you can go into like, well, okay, how did I want to parent? I'm going to parent my daughter the way I wanted to parent. But anyway, as a kind of lost and lonely kid, I connected with nature at a really young age. And we lived on the Palisades overlooking the Hudson River. And it was really magical. I mean, they, you know, it was, you would find Indian arrowheads and, you know, you could feel Indians, the Hudson River Valley Indians, sort of in the woods as I romped around and played Indian, really. Actually ended up living in a teepee in my teens in Vermont. So I was very enamored with that, with nature. And so much so that I felt, you know, some of the trees were like my mother. You know, I would literally go to them and cry and deliver my problems. And I received, you know, I don't know whether it was counsel, but certainly inspiration, and that, you know, that I was connected to something higher than myself and that I could reach it through nature and that I should feel blessed and that was going to maybe have to be enough. And I, you know, because I was kind of like teachers, somebody in the third dimension, I could really, you know, that would be helpful. And oddly enough, I looked for teachers all my life and got thrown out of every school I ever went to and ended up becoming a teacher because I thought maybe that was a needed area. So, you know, I taught actors for 30 years. I became an actress. I followed my father's footsteps. I became an actress. I loved acting and I loved the process of creating another character. It's really like artists, actors create life out of nothing, you know, a parallel life. And I think that the reason that we look to actors the way that we do, people really look to them as royalty. They're very, very taken with actors. And I believe it's because when you see an actor, particularly on stage, really enter a character, create this life like a magician in front of your eyes and command thoughts and feelings at will, that as an audience, we release from our own lives and we enter that story, you know, as if they entered that story. And it's a release. And then when we leave the theater, we feel a little bit, I think, underneath it all, like, wow, if they can create all that life out of nothing, surely I can create my own life a little better. And that's really why I wrote the book, because I realized the same exercises and teachings that I was giving acting and actors to find characters, these same exercises could apply to anyone who was looking for their own life or to better their own life or to have that kind of inspirational counsel from their higher self.
You're listening to my conversation with Jocelyn Jones, author of the new book, Artist, Awakening the Spirit Within. We'll be back with more of this conversation, but first we're going to hear a couple of songs that are examples of artists creating characters. Both these songs are sung in the first person. See if you can put yourself into the character. We're starting out with Anais Mitchell from her album Hadestown. This is Flowers, Eurydice's song. You're listening to Paradigms.
What I wanted was to fall close my eyes and disappear. Like a petal on a stream, a feather on the air. Lily white and poppy red, I trembled when he laid me out. You won't feel a thing, he said, when you go down. Nothing gonna wake you up now. Dreams are sweet until they're not. Thank you.
Just heard a song called Millworker, performed by Emmylou Harris, written by James Taylor. It's an example of an artist creating a character, inhabiting a character. And before that, Eurydice's song, Flowers, from Anais Mitchell, from her album Hades Town, which is about the myth of Orpheus and Eurydice. All right, we're going to get back now to my conversation with Jocelyn Jones and learn some more about what inspired this book and her life. I think what's striking about the book is that it is very focused on offering the artist within each of us exercises and inspirations, and the personal stories here, many of which are very moving. I laughed and I cried, I really did, but that everyone is an artist creating their life all the time. There is no moment where actually we are not creative. We just don't recognize it some of the time.
Exactly. We don't take responsibility for our life in that way. And I fault education. I mean, if I come back in my next life, I'm going to come back as an educator who redesigns our educational system to bring the imagination up, because imagination is everything. You know, imagination is where our future comes from. So it's no wonder that when we took the arts out of, you know, schools, that we really did a tremendous disservice to our future, and that we're not, I look at you and I go, oh, okay, well, we're from similar decades. You know, we went through the 60s maybe in similar ways. The fact that we, you know, I came of age in the 60s, that was like the most powerful decade. That decade was just like, holy moly. And all of the stuff that was rocking and rolling in that decade, you had this unbelievable scene in music and, you know, film, and, you know, it was just extraordinary time. And we don't have that now. You know, we don't have that kind of uplifting. You know, I want to say, when we're in this much trouble, I want to say, where are the troubadours? Because the troubadours are, you know, I saw that you had an interview with Peter Yarrow, and, you know, that was wonderful. And that music was really, really something. And it connected us, because there was nobody who heard that music and didn't feel that oneness, didn't have the same kind of feeling and know that, oh, you're having the same experience that I'm having. You know, that was really something. And that's what art is for. It's to remind us also that, you know, if you could just teach people to connect to their own heart and take counsel from themselves only, above and beyond any teachers or anybody spouting anything, you know, that all I wanted to do with that book is, you know best. And here's how to connect to what you know best and listen to yourself, because you're here for a reason. You came here for a reason. And here are some ways where you can find out what that reason is, you know, because, you know, I think it's Emerson who talks about we all can do something better than anyone else. And that's why we came here. And the thing that puts your nose on that is joy, you know, that joy and creativity go hand in hand. So one of the exercises in the book is simply, you know, to create a joy list, because you know, how many people are so unhappy with their lives. They don't like their day-to-day life. And I want to say, well, what do you like? And this should be the first thing we ask kids at, you know, 6 years old. You know, good morning, welcome to school. What would you like to do today? You know, and if we just validated that all the way through, we'd have a different planet, you know?
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think one of the reasons why the arts, and it can sound like such a pretentious term, but it isn't. Everything is the arts, whether you're painting or you're cooking or you're dancing or how you move. You can move through your house with intention or grace or clumsiness or whatever it is. It's about being present in one's own aliveness in the moment, right now.
Yes, yes.
And that is oddly something we have to relearn as adults, but as children, it's something that is 100% natural to us.
Yeah.
We are taught not to be present.
Yes.
With too much intellectualism and ideology and blah, 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 whatever it all is.
And worry and wonder and, you know, did I say that right? Did I do that right? Will I do this right? Will I have these things? Will I be okay? What will happen if, you know, all those the wrong questions. I call them the wrong questions.
Yeah, yeah.
Because questioning is extraordinary. Questioning is how you reach inspiration. You know, what makes me happy? What might I like to do? Where might I like to live? You know, actors, you teach actors, you teach them through a series of questions. Where are you? You know, where could you be? You know, well, what if this scene, same thing with writers, they're all the same questions in creating, and they're the same questions you ask in life. You know, where do I want to live? You know, where could I live? Oh, I want to live in Paris. Really? Okay, let's start taking steps to live in Paris, you know.
I hope you're enjoying my conversation with Jocelyn Jones, author of the new book, Artist, Awakening the Spirit Within. We're going to listen to a song from the 60s now, and then we'll be back with more conversation. Here's Jefferson Airplane. I know you know this song.
When the truth is found to be
from their album Surrealistic Pillow, Jefferson Airplane, Somebody to Love, the distinctive sounds of Grace Slick, love her voice. And you know, Grace no longer performs music, but she's a painter. You can check out her paintings at graceslick.com. Okay, here's the next part of my conversation with Jocelyn Jones. I took a couple of notes as I was reading the book because I really enjoyed it. It's not like reading a book, oh, I've got to slog through this thing. It's like, oh, I can't wait. What is she going to say next? Which is really nice because as I've gotten older, I've gotten a lot lazier about reading books, I must confess. One of the things that struck me is you have an E.E. Cummings quote, and I grew up listening to my mother read E.E. Cummings poetry and reading those books. And as soon as I saw that, I thought, oh, this woman is singing my song. And then you go into like the various exercises, and in each part of the book, there are these personal stories from your childhood or your growing up or your adulthood that are used to illustrate what the exercises are teaching in that section. And, you know, It's very well put together and very sensible. But the things that you said and the stories that you told, I think I just felt very personally related to them. In part, it's because we grew up at the same time and not too far away. I grew up in New Haven, Connecticut, and then Vermont, and also did not like school until I found a hippie free school, and that really worked for me. But one of the things that you've really talked about in here as part of how you teach actors, but that I think relates to everyone, is the role that our senses play in being present.
Yes.
But what I want to ask you about, because obviously we need to touch each of our senses, and I do exercises with people, you know, you do one at a time and then you bring them together. But the other piece is where we don't allow our senses, our sensuality, to distract us from other things too. It's not that there's anything wrong with it, but if that's all we focus on. So I wanted to ask about how you balance out the sensory work with the emotional and mental work.
Well, I think you take those cues from yourself. Tennessee Williams, who in my opinion is one of the greatest writers of our time, he just is extraordinary playwright, but all of his plays do best if it's 110 degrees outside. You know what I mean? There should be, and I used to talk to actors, they would come to a point where they do Tennessee Williams. This, we're going to cast you in a Tennessee Williams piece. And inevitably, you know, in the critique, I would say, what is the temperature and why? You know, well, it's hot. Well, how hot is it? Is it like you're perspiring? You know, is it like you're putting your cooch up to the fan? You know, it's like, how hot is it? You want it to be so hot that it is creating behavior, whether it's sticking your face in a fan or, you know, putting your head in the freezer or cold packs or downing a glass of water with acting. It's behavior that tells the story. You can't tell how hot it is until somebody does something about it. And then we recognize, oh, it's so hot, she's doing that. And then we can get a gauge on the temperature. But you go by your heart, you know, you ask a series of questions and you're not looking for intellectual answers. You're looking for a bump in your heart. You're looking for your breath to quicken or your heart to quicken. As you go, oh, there's something there. It's like going on a hunt and then you go after, what is that? What is that? Oh, it's this or the other thing. So it could be sensory. It could be a secret, you know, that comes up in the mind of, you know, because you ask all kinds of questions about a character. What are they afraid? You ask the same kind of questions you do about people. What is this character most afraid that people will know about them? What is their deepest secret? It's a wonderful thing for an actor to ponder, you know, because in those secrets that make your heart beat, you earn your right into the guy or the gal, you know. It's you feel like, oh, okay, I have something special for this character. I understand them in this way. And so you're always going by your heart and your breath.
But if you're not an actor, you are the character, and you're asking those questions about yourself.
Yeah.
You're listening to my conversation with Jocelyn Jones, and we were talking about Joni Mitchell's song Woodstock. Here it is, from her album Miles of Isles. This is Paradigms.
Oh, intermission. We'll see you in about 15 minutes.
Joni Mitchell, of course, from her live album, Miles of Isles, with Woodstock. And yes, we are stardust. We are billion-year-old carbon. It's actually the truth. Here's the next part of my conversation with Jocelyn Jones, author of the new book, Artist, Awakening the Spirit Within. It's such an amorphous thing to try and talk about. How do we make our lives feel better and be better? And what does that even mean? I mean, it probably means different things to different people.
Yeah. But we've been miseducated, you know, we've been taught to believe a whole bunch of stuff that's just not true, you know, like the more money you have, the happier you'll be, the more stuff you'll have, you know, the happier you'll be, you know. My daughter's pregnant right now. She's getting ready to deliver a baby mid-October. And, you know, she's looking at, do I need this and I need that? I go, you know, honey, I didn't need much. I just needed a couple boobs and a babe. And, you know, we were all set, you know?
Yeah.
And it's kind of fun to go that way. Like, oh, I know how to do this. I don't need a bunch of stuff. You don't need a bunch of stuff. I think you need to, as you were saying, you need to walk through life in an artful way. And that means you need to be present. So the thing about sensory work is that it makes you present. That if you're working with this, you know, if you have people just listen for the breeze or just sit in nature and observe the breeze and the trees, it's extraordinary. It brings you right home. It brings you right to the moment. And it's also a miracle to me. It's just a miracle, you know. There were a lot of things that didn't make it into the book, you know, a lot of more ethereal things that are hard to talk about, like just the nature of space. You know, I do talk about you know, with artists, the negative space, because we're all trained to look at trees in the same way. So we all look at a tree, but go, okay, tree, check, I got it, I know it, it's there, I got it, moving on to the next thing. But you don't got it. You gotta take some time with it to really get it. You know, you have to give it that respect in the moment. And one of the most beautiful things to do is look at the negative space, look at the space between the leaves, look at the space between the branches. Look at the space between you and the next object, you know, that's all negative space. That has a power in it. Without that space, we don't have anything. We have to have the space between me and the couch for the couch to even be there, you know. So that space has a lot of information in it, you know.
And the interesting thing about negative space is it's negative space, but it's not nothing.
Exactly.
There's all of what is there that we don't experience unless we choose to.
Exactly, exactly. And then all the breath experiments. When you're doing breathing, when you're breathing in meditation and you're watching your breathing and you're breathing in a certain way, when you just simply consciously breathe into your heart, that's a miracle. That air is the same air that's been around for, you know, the entirety of time. Life is what you endow it with, you know, and you endow it with how much you can receive from it, which is why I talk a lot about observation and really looking at things that brings you to the present moment. Gratitude brings you to the present moment. There are certain things that just immediately bring you to the present moment.
Humans love information and we like shiny things. And so I like to throw out the shiny information, like what you were just saying. That breath has been breathed in by countless others. Every molecule has been part of stars and planets and who knows what. And when we actually contemplate these realities that are almost beyond comprehension, it makes a lot of stuff fall away that we don't need.
Yes, yes, yes. And also we recognize it. I mean, when Joni Mitchell came out with We Are Stardust, We Are Golden, and We've Got to Find Our Way Back to the Garden, everybody heard it. Everybody mm-hmm. went, yes, yes. You know, truth resonates with everyone, and truth and art has the greatest exposure. You know, it's the greatest way to reach the greatest number of people is through art. And it reminds us that we're all one, you know, because we all hear that. Oh, we are stardust. I know that to be true.
And in hearing that, we're all suddenly in relationship with Joni and with each other. And that's what art does. It brings us back to the reality that we're all in constant relationship.
Yes.
We'll be back with the final part of my conversation with Jocelyn Jones after we hear some more music, starting out with a song by Lou Reed, New Sensations.
Sensations. never had a crystal ball. I never had a crystal stone. I never claimed to know it all. All I know is what I've known. And I know that what we've had, I had never had before. So if you really want to go, be of good heart evermore. I hear the wild dogs in the dark. I hear the wind out in the pines, but there's no travel near or far without the crossing of my mind. And the reflection in your eyes shows a road stretched out before me. And if you really want to go, your good heart evermore. I don't know nothing about where you're going. That don't mean a thing to me. Secrets I don't know, and I have scars that you can't read. I know your past ain't far behind. I hear it knocking on your door. And if you really want to go, be of good heart evermore. Just may have been a way to pass your time, just to stop along your way as you were stop on mine. And even so, it'd still be worse.
That's Joan Baez from her album Whistle Down the Wind, Be of Good Heart. Before that, we heard Lou Reed, New Sensations. And now here's the final part of my conversation with Jocelyn Jones. There's something you said towards the end of the book, and I'm going to read it so we can talk about it. I think it's very important. You said, "What is a culture of hate if not a lost tribe of people living in fear? How do we lift ourselves up to a higher standard? How do we inspire people to reach for the best in humanity as opposed to cannibalizing it?" This speaks so much to this moment.
Yeah. Yeah, I actually got goosebumps as you read that. I went, did I? See, much of this book just came onto the page. I love that you're smiling at that because I get that you know it. But yeah, much of this came onto the page. And then, you know, when you go into rewrites, you go back and you read stuff that you wrote 6 months or a year ago and you go, whoa, where did that come from? I was constantly going, thank you, thank you, thank you.
Well, that passage inspired me, and we don't have to answer these questions. Our lives are the answers to these questions. Can we live our lives in response to how do we inspire people to reach for the best in humanity? That's just how we be.
Yeah, yeah. And I think my idea is that if people can do this, if people can connect to their own hearts, if people can intend for that to happen and move in that direction, it's all one drop in the ocean at a time makes the ocean, you know. Just like lifting a book out into the world, it's one drop of conversation at a time that makes wakes that book up to another mind. So it's just that little bit, that belief, that constant belief that another one. So if we can stay in the moment as individuals and we can lift each other up as individuals, you know, that's how we lift up the whole. It's just one person's intentional living at a time, you know, and each of us is doing that.
And I want to say, and this is for listeners, you know, whatever that crazy, wacky thing is that you do alone, that's, I mean, I have this Italian mafia guy that comes out when I'm cooking certain things, and he talks, he's doing the cooking, and, you know, you brown the sausage like this, and then you do it like that. And it's for nobody else. It's just for me. These things matter, and do them, and allow them, and explore them, and have fun with them. That is how we make life better for everyone.
Exactly. And I'm not sure that crazy Italian cooking guy doesn't want to write an Italian cookbook in that voice, you know?
He does.
Dude,
he does.
Get the sausages. Don't get those sausages. Get these sausages. I'm telling you, it's very important to have these sausages. Cut them like this.
Absolutely.
You know?
Wow. Jocelyn, this went really fast. I'm very much enjoying talking with you. I hope people will really read this book who don't just think of it as, oh, I'm not an artist. So, because this is really just a guide for more aliveness.
Thank you. I hope so. More joy, more artful life, more joy, more aliveness, more contribution. I think we all have to find what is my contribution. And we're happiest when we contribute.
It's true. It's true. I read a quote recently. Someone said, a good revolutionary doesn't eat for entertainment, they eat for fuel. And I thought, well, let's doctor that up a little bit. Some eating for entertainment is fine, it's joy, it's pleasure. But it's also true that we can be distracted by sensation and what feels good and comfort and forget that that's not all of what we're here for, it's part of what we're here for.
Yeah, we're very good at that. We're very good at that. We're very good at creating comfort and getting things and making games. It's just the quality. How is the quality of the game? What's the end result? And the end result, if it comes in around, let's help people contribute to the whole, then we've got something going, something good going.
That's the ticket.
Your life is your greatest creation, and it can be anything that you want it to be. And that it's time that we take a look at who and what we really are, because we're spiritual beings in bodies with this great gift of these bodies with sensations and language and, you know, music and these things that we can do. All of this is fantastic, but we get distracted by it. We get so distracted by language that, you know, we have a 24-hour, seven thinking mechanism. We just think. Thinking is not living. Thinking is not being. It's very different. It's wonderful and great fun, but everything in balance.
Jocelyn, thank you so much for joining me and for this wonderful book.
Thank you. It was
Jocelyn,
it was a great
Jones,
pleasure.
Thank you so much for
thank
joining
you.
Me on Paradigms and sharing some
you
of your story
me.
And your work with us. The new book, Artist, Awakening the Spirit Within, really wonderful. I enjoyed reading it, and I really enjoyed our conversation. Good stuff. Folks, if you'd like to learn more about Jocelyn Jones, more about the book, her acting school, the website is jocelynjonesstudio.com. I hope you'll check that out. And whether you consider yourself to be an artist or not, we must all admit to ourselves that we are creative, even in small ways. That's something we can build on, celebrate, share, and really, creativity makes life better for everybody. So many thanks to Jocelyn Jones for this book, and it was great to meet you. If you've enjoyed this episode of Paradigms, I hope you'll check out our archive, over 500 episodes of wonderful creative folks doing amazing things. The website is paradigms.life. You can also find us on YouTube. Just look for Paradigms Podcast. Paradigms has a Patreon campaign going to help pay the bills, and we're very appreciative of our Patreon supporters. If you'd like to learn more about that, just go to patreon.com/paradigms. Creativity is at the heart of everything we do. It's at the heart of our arts, obviously, but politics, medicine, permaculture, education, you name it. These are all the results of our creativity. So fostering and encouraging creativity in ourselves and others is one of the best things humans can do. Just look around you. Everything you see that is made by humans is the result of someone or many people's creative impulses. We all have creativity to contribute to the common good. So we're going to focus on that and let the word for the week be creativity. And I encourage you to notice yours. Notice your own creativity. Notice your own creative impulses. And notice creativity around you. Even a little thing like a ballpoint pen. Someone thought that up. Lots of people over time contributed to making it a better thing. And here it is on your desk for you to use. We all have ideas to contribute that can be of value. So, creativity. We're going to close out the show, of course, with one more bit of music. This is from Roseanne Cash from her album The Wheel, Fire of the Newly Alive. Thank you, Roseanne, for this beautiful song. All right, folks. Baruch signing off for this episode of Paradigms. We'll be back next time with more inspired, inspiring people. Until then, celebrate creativity and be well.
The questions that linger and stir is the fire that enfolds us, a place to be cured, salvation and rescue, and the one thing of which I am sure. You touch me, all down inside is a fire of a newly alive.
You've been listening to Paradigms, the radio show and podcast that brings you inspiring people with visions of a viable future for life on Earth that includes humans.